All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Once you've found it, please stand for the reading of God's Word one more time. Let you stretch a little bit and find your place. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Today our text and our title will come from verse number 9. And so we'll get to that here in a moment. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. I'll read the first verse and you'll read responsibly with me on the second and down through the chapter. And we'll read together till verse number 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, on the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace and be unto you in peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in utterance, in all utterance, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's our text today and our subject of the message. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's read it together, verse number 9 together again. Ready? God is faithful. By whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, today we come to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for verse number 9. And Lord, thank you, Father, for being a faithful God. Now today I pray that you'd help, Lord, as we go in the message today, and begin to talk about, Lord, your faithfulness. Lord, some of these things will be things that people already know and have heard. And I pray that you'd use your word once again, the Spirit of God, to encourage hearts, Father. Lord, we live in a very scary time, time of uncertainty and frustrations and many unknowns, Father. And Lord, we live in a day of evil. And Father, I pray that you give today great comfort to the heart of the believer, that Father, though the world's always changing, and Lord, that the world's uncertain, Lord, that you are faithful. God, help us today, I pray, in your name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk today, the title of the message today is God is Faithful. That will also be our subject today, the faithfulness of God. What does it mean? Verse number 9, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and as he makes an introduction to them, and he talks to them about waiting for the coming of the Lord, and that how that we will be confirmed unto the end, and that because of salvation, because of grace, and because of the sacrifice of Christ, we will be presented to God blameless, because of the blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse number 9, he says, God is faithful. Here's our assurance. Here's our rest as believers. Here's our confidence. Here's our hope, is that God is faithful. But what does it mean to be faithful? What's that word mean? Faithful means firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Faithfulness means firm in adherence to the truth and duties and to the duties of religion. Faithfulness, being faithful, speaks to the entirety of man. It, first of all, it describes the condition of man's heart and mind. Faithfulness adheres firmly to the truth. So it speaks of the condition of the heart, the condition of the mind. You see, faithfulness, or being faithful, is a moral compass that does not guide according to convenience or profit, but guides according to truth. God is faithful. He's true. But faithfulness also describes the conversation of an individual or a man. It talks about our behavior. See, the faithful man lives and behaves according to what the faith he believes and adheres to. And so the gospel is by faith and without works, but it is not without duty. That's where the world is today. We want a gospel that's free, and it is free, and it's by grace, without works, but it is not without duty. So we see that God is faithful. He firmly adheres to what is true, but it also then dictates, if I can use that word, it dictates his behavior, what he will do. And so the same is true in the Christian life. If we're faithful, it begins in the inward man, but it encompasses the entire man as well. We are living in a faithless society. We see all around us today a very scary world that we're living in. And 2021 does not promise right at this point to be much, much better than what the year we came out of. But what is it? Why do we as believers, why are we so confident? Why do we have so much peace? Why can we have this rest in a faithless generation? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Faith without substance and practice is not the faith of the Bible. So we find that faith is not, again, it's not just what we believe in the heart, but also what we practice, how we live. When an individual throws off or neglects the duties of faith, it soon results in a society without faith. Well, how do we get to where we're at today? A generation that is faithless, that does not know God, that's contrary to the things of God, that really, in a lot of ways, hates God. How do we get here? Well, I'll tell you how we got here. A generation threw off the duties of faith and said, it doesn't matter what I do, as long as my heart is right. And they threw off the duties, and pretty soon, because we neglected the duties of faith, it determined then what we believed in our heart as well. And so we find that we live a generation that is faithless. And that our breakdown of our society is a result of a faithless... Listen, the breakdown of America is not because of lack of money. There is more money in today's generation than there ever has been in the history of our world. Our grandparents and our great-grandparents didn't have near as much money as we have now, or as much convenience that we have now. It's not because of a lack of education. You can become educated very easily in today's society. Our problem is the lack of faith. The lack of faith. And so the fear and anxiety of man is the absence of living faith. Faith is a faith in a holy God that consumes the heart and dictates the conversation, the behavior, and the life of a man and a woman. Now, Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, questioned man's faith. In fact, he says in Luke 18:8, when Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This is something that man struggles with. In Mark 11:22, Christ said this, have faith in God. Amen. So what is the foundation of man's faith? What is the strength of man's faith? The foundation of man's faith is the truth that God is faithful. What made Paul so confident and so bold? What made him willing to go to the martyr's death and lose his head for the cause of Christ? Because God is faithful. Who gave the disciples great boldness after their conversion and after what they went through and after their doubts and their fears, because they realized that God is faithful. Think of the songs that we sing about God. We sing, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. We sing the song, my faith has found their resting place. Not in device nor creed. I trust the everlasting, the ever living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Our faith, the foundation of our faith is in the very fact, the very truth that God is faithful. What makes, this one I want to talk about God's faithfulness in three areas. Number one is this, God is faithful in his person. He's faithful in his person. Come with me to the Old Testament, please, and to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. God is faithful in his person. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says this about God. It says, know therefore the Lord thy God. He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is called the faithful God. He's faithful in his person. Look with me another verse here, Psalms 119. Turn to the right there to Psalms 119. And you read along, follow along as I read, but look at Psalms 119, verse number 89. Watch the scriptures here. As the psalmist cries out and sings, verse number 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Look at verse number 90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." So God is faithful in his person. That's who he is. The very nature and the character of God is to be faithful. God can't be anything else but faithful. That's who he is. How do we know that? What are some things about God that make him, or that gird up his faithfulness, or that make him faithful? Let me give this morning just five thoughts about who the God's person. Number one is this: God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Because God is all-knowing, it enables him to be faithful. God knows the end from the beginning. Nothing surprises God. He's never alarmed. He's not confused. He's not frustrated. He never goes, "Uh-oh, now what do I do?" God is all-knowing. That means that God is faithful to you and I because he knows all about us. There's not one thing he does. Listen, we sometimes only know what's on the outside of an individual, but God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's on the inside as well. God is all-knowing, and it makes God to be faithful. God is also not only is he all-knowing, but God is, omnipotent. God is all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. God is the creator. In fact, if you were in your beginning of your Bible reading this past week, you read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And this took him 6 days. And he spoke the world into existence, and he took the dust of the ground, and he formed man, and he breathed the man the breath of life. God is all-powerful. Throughout the scriptures, we read in the scriptures how that God used his great power and his great wisdom in the affairs of man. Whether it was Noah in the ark, or Moses leaving the children of Israel up out of Egypt, or with the prophets or the disciples, God has done great things. What's impossible to man is possible with God. God is never at a loss for what to do or how to get it done. God is all-powerful, which enables God, if you will, to be faithful. God is also omnipresent. He's everywhere. The psalmist writes and he declared, "Where shall I go from the presence of God?" You can't hide from God's presence. Job said this about God, though he could not perceive God. Job said this: "He knoweth the path that I take." God is everywhere. That means I'm never alone. That means that God can fulfill his promise when he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Because God is everywhere. There's no place where you can go that God is not. He is omnipresent. God is also truthful. Hebrews 6:18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie." God cannot lie. God does not, God does not sit upon his throne and guide the affairs of man based upon convenience or results. He does what is right. He does what is righteous. The righteous judge will always do right, the Bible says. He is truthful to what is true. God is always will do right. Next thing is this: God is immutable. That means that God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says this: "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Why is it that man today, though man lives in a very wicked world, and it seems like our progress has always been toward wickedness without the intervention of God, why is it that we're not consumed? Because God is faithful. He does not change. This is a blessing to you and I because we can look back in the affairs of man and the Word of God and find out, what did God do yesterday? What did God do last year? What did God do in the very beginning? And so what God did yesterday and what God did years ago, God can do today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. I think of James 1:17, where the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now, we as people are constantly changing. Now, when they told me that growing up, I thought I would never change. But we change as we get older. Things about us change. And some for the good and some for the not so good, right? And we change. Sometimes a parent might talk to a child and say, "You've changed a little bit." And God, there's not even a variableness or a shadow of turning. God has not changed slightly ever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, don't judge God based upon your perception of people. Just because society changes, and politics change, and the world changes, doesn't mean that God ever changes. It's because God does not change. Because God is all-knowing. Because God is all-powerful. Because God is all-present. Because God is truthful. Because God does not change. He's immutable. God, in His person, is faithful. That's who He is. So we can find great rest and comfort that God is faithful. Number two is this. God is faithful not just in His purpose, in His person. He's faithful in His plan. God is faithful in His plan. Look with me in the New Testament at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. God is faithful in His plan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13, says this. I'll wait till you get there. 2 Timothy 2:13. God is faithful in His plan. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." Now, here's what I want you to see this morning, this particular verse at this time. The unbelief and rebellion of man does not alter or weaken the faithfulness of God. Paul says here, Timothy, though that we believe not, though that men may not believe, and the men may reject the gospel, that God abides faithful. What man does does not change who God is or what God does. Our unbelief does not alter God's faithfulness. And so he's saying, listen, if the great philosophers of the world say there is no God, there is no gospel, if they believe not, yet He abides faithful. If today the educators and the elite rulers and the politicians of the world say there is no God, there is no gospel, if they believe not, yet He abides faithful. If the scientists and the brilliant minds, so-called brilliant minds of our generation say, there is no God and there is no gospel. We evolved from a monkey and we came from evolution. If they believe not, yet He abides faithful. By the way, the faithfulness of God is not determined by public opinion. See, what man does not alter God's plan or His person. He abides faithful. Now that's contrary to what we see in ourselves. Because oftentimes what we see in ourselves is that when something happens, sometimes it determines how faithful we are to what we believe and how we live. See that sometimes in a church house, if a preacher falls, makes a big mistake, or commits some gross sin, there'll be a group of folks that'll stay faithful, but there'll be some that say, if the preacher fell, I'm leaving, I'm quitting. And they won't change churches, they won't go somewhere else. They just quit serving God altogether. You see, our faith is sometimes determined by things around us, circumstances, situations. But God says, it doesn't matter what you do, when it comes to my faithfulness, I abide faithful. So what is God's plan then? Look back at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. God abides faithful. Notice His plan now. Verse number 15 in 1 Timothy 1 says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So what is God's plan? God's plan has always been, from Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, has always been to redeem man from their sin, fellowship with Him, to give man everlasting life. And that plan has not been altered by man's behavior or man's unbelief. Man can say, I don't believe in this Jesus. And of course, Christ came to his own received Him not. But it did not alter God's plan. God came into the world, He sent His Son to save sinners, the Bible says. And so His plan of salvation has not been altered because of man's unbelief. He's faithful in His plan. Today we live in a generation of people that It seems like so many reject Jesus, and their heart's been turned. The spirit of Antichrist that lives in our world today, that's very strong, and it seems like it's hard to talk to people about Jesus. And Dubuque is a difficult place to talk to folks about Jesus Christ in. Folks are religious, but they don't want to talk about Jesus, about salvation. But man's rebellion, and man's hard-heartedness, and man's unbelief does not alter God's plan of salvation. God is faithful in His plan. God is able to save sinners because God, the Holy One of Israel, is faithful. God cannot die, God cannot lie, and God cannot fail. So what does that mean? God is faithful in His plan. That means His word will never change. It does not change. Society may say, we don't believe that, but His word does not change. The gospel will never change. It will always be by grace through faith. It will always be because of the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ will always be the focus of salvation. His love will never change. Why does God bring salvation to man? Because He's faithful and He loves us. He loves the world. His care of the church will never change. Those we see today in this past year, the society says church is not essential. We don't need church. Close the doors down. Do something else. Society loves sports and loves to be entertained. The church house will sit empty. But listen, His care of the church will never change. Because man, he abides faithful in His plan. Number three is this morning. Here's what I wanted to come to help you out this morning about God's faithfulness. God is faithful in His person. He's faithful in His plan. That means God is also faithful in His promise. There are some great promises in God's word that describe His faithfulness. Let's look at a few this morning as we have time. Look at me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. God is faithful in His promise. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We see that God is faithful in His promise to help. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this. They have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Here we find God's promise to help. God is faithful to help the believer in temptation. See, victory is not victory in Christ, or victory over temptation or sin, is not because of our strength or our ability or our gifts or our talent or our commitment. Our victory is because God is faithful. Why? Because He knows everything, and He's all powerful, and He's everywhere, and He's a God of truth, and He does not change. And so God knows all about you and what you're at and what you can handle, and God knows what's in your life, and He knows your strengths and weakness. And God said, listen, I'm not going to let temptation come your way that's above that you're able to resist or overcome, because I'm faithful, and I'll give you a way to escape from it as well. God is faithful. He's faithful in His promise. He's faithful to help and deliver. 1 John 5:4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What's our faith in? A faithful God. It's not in our abilities or our talents or how good that we are, even how, well, preacher, I'm a good Christian. What makes you a good Christian? Faith in a faithful God. And so we find that He is faithful in His promise to help. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I not fear what man shall do unto me. Again, here we see God's faithfulness in His promise. Preacher, you don't understand my temptation. Don't make your temptation or your problem bigger than God. God is bigger than your temptation. God is bigger than your flesh. God is bigger than your obstacle. God is bigger than your valley. He's bigger than all those things because He abides faithful. He's faithful in His person, in His plan, in His promise. He says, I will help. I'm there to help. I'm there to deliver you. And so God is faithful in His promised to help. Now, God may not always help according to my expectations. That's sometimes our problem. That's sometimes where we lose faith. Because our expectations, well, God, I expected you, and here's what I thought you would do. But God is always faithful in his help. Notice with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about God as well in his promise. Take your turn to the right, 1 Thessalonians 5. And look with me at verse number 23. So God is faithful in his promise to help. God is also faithful in his promise to preserve. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That was the same thought or same theme as 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1. Verse number 24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So here he's promised to preserve us till when? Till he comes again. Until heaven. That means that I don't keep my own salvation. I don't keep myself saved. I don't have to work to be saved or to stay saved. My faith is not in a church house. It's not even in my baptism. My faith is in a God who is faithful, who promised to preserve me to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So his promise, he's faithful to keep his promise to preserve us. He will do it, he says. He's faithful. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Another promise that God is faithful to keep. 1 John 1. So the believer has great confidence. We have great rest because he's faithful to preserve us. He's faithful to do it. You know, what a blessing to realize one day, you know, I was raised up in a home that we were in and out of church so often. We oftentimes had different doctrines were creeping to our home. I had a family that were Pentecostal. Sometimes that were kind of creeping to our home sometimes. And many folks that we grew up and knew, you could lose your salvation. And for a young man, that was scary. And, boy, there were times at night I'd go to bed weeping. Lord, please, I don't want to die and go to hell. Please, Lord, did I do everything just right? Did I pray just right? Do I need to speak in tongues? Do I need to do all these things to be saved? And boy, I would weep and cry, God, please save me. I don't want to die and go to hell. And what a blessing it was, I can realize it's not me that keeps me saved. It's God that keeps me saved. He's faithful. When I received Christ as my Savior, put my trust in Him and the work of Christ, and the work of Calvary because of His blood upon Calvary, He paid the price for me, and His blood purchases my redemption, and my faith in Christ is what saves us. And then God keeps us. And because He is all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere, and because He's truth and He does not change, that means I can't lose my salvation. Amen. I am secured. As Jesus Christ is secure. I'm joint heirs with Christ. And God keeps that. He's faithful. Now listen, if you don't believe that God is faithful, you're in trouble. The world today has no rest. I can imagine not being a believer. I can imagine not knowing who God is. Having faith in Christ. I can't imagine going through without God in my life. No wonder the world just eats, drinks, and stays drunk half the time. They're scared out of their mind, out of their wits. They're scared to death because they have no rest, no peace. But God is faithful. Look at 1 John 1:9. It says this, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We find that God is faithful not just to preserve us, but He's faithful to forgive. He's promised to forgive us. He said this, if you confess your sins, well, how many and how often? Didn't say a limit, just said if you confess your sins. Then God is faithful. Oh, forgiveness, we need forgiveness today over and over again, don't we? Man, we step outside of God's will, we disappoint God, we live in the flesh, and not just our works, but also sometimes our heart's not right. Sometimes our mind's not right. And so we can go to God and say, God, here I come again. And God, I've sinned and I messed up. God, forgive me. And He's faithful and He's just. He's a just God to forgive us and to cleanse us. Remember in the Last Supper when Jesus Christ went to wash Peter's feet? And Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus Christ said to Peter, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter, if I don't cleanse you, you have no part with me. And Peter said this. He said, Lord, not my feet, but then my hands and my head, everything. And Christ said this, Peter, if you've been, here's what he's saying. Peter, if you've been washed and cleansed, all you need is your feet clean. What that means to you and I? That once we're saved, we've been cleansed. But as we go through this life, we walk through this life, we pick up filth. I grew up on a farm. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I worked on a farm. And as you walked to the barnyard, into that farm, you'd pick up filth. There was one time I worked on a farm, I got so filthy with cleaning out a chicken house that I was 14, I couldn't drive yet. When my ride came, they said, listen, you're not getting this car with those clothes on. Take your clothes off, put them in the trunk. So that's what we had to do because we were so filthy. And we got home and got washed up with a hose. And so as a Christian, we go through life, we pick up junk, don't we? And we need to be cleansed, our feet washed. The Lord said this, if you just confess your sin, He's faithful. He never says this, I'll not forgive this time. You've done too much. You've gone too far. I'll not forgive you. He said this, if you will confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a forgiving God. Why? Because He promised to be so. Let me show you one more promise this morning. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Look with me at verse number 3. Revelation 21, verse number 3. God is faithful in His person. It's who He is. His very nature, His very character is to be faithful. He's faithful in His plan. Salvation has not changed. It'll always be through Christ Jesus. And man's unbelief does not change God's faith. He abides faithful. He's faithful in His promise as well. Revelation 21, verse number 3 says this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, with men. And He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne and said, behold, I will make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit the kingdom, shall inherit the things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Here we find the promise of heaven. The promise of heaven. The promise of being with God. See, God's, the faithfulness of God has provided for us a better place. Our problem is today, we think that heaven is here. This is not heaven. As much as I love America, America is not heaven. We get so wrapped up in this world that we fail to see, and here's why folks live scared, and have anxiety and fear. Their hope, their faith is bound up in a politician or a president or a country. Though I'm glad that God let me be born in America, I appreciate, I love our freedom, I love what America stands for. But we're the strangers who are passing through. We're God's children. And He's promised for us a better place. A place where there are no more tears. And there's no more death. And there's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. And there's no more pain. The things today that plague us. That crush man. That depressed man, that kills man, that corrupts man, is not in heaven. The things that you and I weep over, they're not there in heaven. The things that plague our bodies and corrupt our flesh are no longer in heaven. The things that pain your body, the diseases, the arthritis, the cancer, the illnesses, the things that break your heart and rip out your soul, they're not there anymore. See, in heaven there's no more pain, there's no more tears. God has, because He's faithful, has prepared a place for us that where He is, there we may be also. It's a place where God will dwell with the saint. A place where the believer will be His people and God Himself will be with them and be their God. I like church. Today, if you don't like church, I don't know what's wrong. If you say, I don't like church, to me, there's something wrong with that individual. Church, to me, is a great place to be. But it's just a shadow of what heaven's going to be like. See, now you sit in the pew and you listen to a preacher or a pastor teach a message. And he, in some aspect, stands and represents on God's behalf. A father in a home stands on God's behalf. A mom prays on the behalf of her children on God's behalf. But in heaven, the Bible says this, that God Himself will be with His people and we will be with God. There'll be no more on God's behalf. But God Himself will be there and be our God and be His people. And there we shall live and reign with Him forever, a place where there is no more tears and no more pain, no more death. And that's God's promise of a better place. And no wonder that Christians today oftentimes live a life of fear and anxiety. No wonder today when churches close their doors and no longer have church, it's because they have made America more important than they have made heaven. What made these saints of old bold in the face of persecution and facing lions and fiery furnaces and the martyr's death? Because they knew that heaven was promised by God. And to be absent from this body is present with the Lord. They had no fear because they knew that though man may slay this body, that their soul and spirit had been saved and redeemed, that death was just a door to heaven. Today that may sound to many people because of Hollywood and our culture. It may seem like some fantasy world, some fairy tale. But it is as real as God is real. And God is faithful. He's faithful. It's His person. He's faithful in His plan. God can save any sinner because Christ died for all sinners. God's faithful today, Christian, in His promise. I want you to see one other thing in closing about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is also a warning to the unbeliever. If you're in Revelation 21, look at verse with me at verse number 8. Just drop down one verse from where you were. Notice this. We see about God's promise as well. Revelation 21, verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God's faithfulness is a comfort to the believer. We find great rest in that. That though the society is changing and the world is changing, and there's so many unknowns today in the world today, that God abides faithful. And the world may say there is no God, but He is still faithful. Evolution may say, hey, we came from an explosion and from one cell amoeba, and we evolved to this way. We came from nothing, we're going to nothing. But God abides faithful. And so for you and I, there's great rest in that. But to the unbeliever, it's a warning. Because God said this, if you're unbelieving, you have no faith. That all unbelievers, along with all sinners, shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now you say, well, God wouldn't, why would God send people to hell? God doesn't send anyone to hell. Man's rejection of Christ Jesus, they chose then to go to hell. See, God's a loving God. And His faithfulness demands this. You trust in Christ for salvation. If you reject Christ then, that no unbeliever, no sinner can come into My presence. So today for the believer, His faithfulness is a great comfort. But to the unbeliever, it should be a great warning. People have this idea, well, when I get to heaven, You know, God's gonna just weigh out my good works, my bad works. And if I just do enough good things, because he loves him so much, he has to let me in. God's not going to change what he said. Today, if you're here in this church and you're an unbeliever, heed God's warning. Heed God's warning. For you and I, it's a resting place. Hebrews 10:23 says this: let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, one of the difficult things for being a preacher and being a believer this year, this past year, 2020, was seeing the faith of people waver. For many of us, we never have been through such a thing as this pandemic. And so-called the elites and the experts said, millions are going to die. What are we going to do? And it's almost like the end of the world is coming. What are we going to do? And all this thing and these edicts and these proclamations and these new laws, these new things changes so rapidly. And it seemed like it shook not just the unbeliever, but the believer himself was shook to the very core. And for some, it revealed their struggling faith. It revealed really where their faith was at. For some, it strengthened their faith. But how can you get through a world like we have today? A world today where we still have a pandemic and we've been told it's going to get worse. We live in America that's politically has great political unrest. We have no idea what's going to happen on January the 6th. Anything could happen. And there could be, as we've seen other countries have bloodshed in the streets, it's would not be impossible to say, or far-fetched to say, that there could be some bloodshed in our streets. Now, we're not used to, for most of us, we've never seen that before. It's weird to even talk about it. But why does a believer then, why can we have great peace and great rest in an unrestful world? Why can our soul be confident and bold? Because he said this, don't let your faith waver, but be steadfast. Why? Because he is faithful. Today, if your faith is in a church house, you're going to struggle. If your faith is in a preacher, you're going to struggle. Up and down, continually. If your faith is in yourself, your good works, and your religious acts, and what you have done, when you are performing to par, you're probably going to feel great. But as all humans and all flesh and blood, when you're performing below par, your faith is going to struggle. Where must our faith be placed in? A God who is faithful. A God who is all-knowing. Who knows you and I. He knows us by name. He knows the number of hairs upon our head. He knows all things. A God who's all-powerful. With you and I, many things are impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With a God who's everywhere. I'm never alone. Never by myself. He's always with me. And a God who is truth. He stands for, he always does what's right. It's not based on his convenience or his profit or what benefits him. He does what's right. And a God, through the ages of time, has never changed. Why am I telling you, am I securing my salvation in my faith? Because God has not changed. If I can say it this way, one iota. Not a bit. Who he was yesterday is who he is today, who he will be tomorrow. He's not changed. And because of that, you and I can have great rest because God is faithful. Lord, today we come to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that you are faithful. And Lord, what a blessing it is to serve a faithful God. The Lord just the same all the time, same yesterday, today, and forever. That does not change. Lord, may our faith today be increased and helped because you are faithful. Today I pray that there be some today that's not placed their faith in you, Lord, that today they would do those things, Lord. They'd put faith in you, Lord. I pray for those today who might be listening on Facebook and watching live stream. Lord, if they've not been saved, Lord, I pray that you would use, Lord, your word today to save sinners, to show men that you are faithful. God, help us today, I pray, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. Help us, we pray, in your name. Let's all sing this morning together. Pianon begins to play an invitation song. God is faithful. Can I ask this morning, how is your faith? How's your faith this morning? Have you struggled today because your faith is in maybe you, yourself, a church house, a man? Or is your faith in a God that's faithful? Today you say, preacher, I need to come and pray a while. Today you come this morning and pray. Ask God to increase your faith, to help your faith to be in a God who's faithful. Perhaps today you say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure for a Bible reason that heaven's my home, that my sins have been forgiven. I've not been saved, but I want to be saved this morning. Today, if that's you, would you step out from your standing and come out front to the front and say, pastor, I need to be saved. Well, take the Bible from God's word to show you how you can be saved. What makes men so faithful, so bold, so daring for Christ, so steadfast and unmovable? Because God is faithful. Today, if you don't see that, you'll be up and down in your walk with God. He's faithful today.